Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, especially verses 21 and 22. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." Let me begin with a question. What does God ask of us as Christians? What does he ask of us? What is the whole business of being a Christian all about? And you probably say to me, believing in Jesus, right? Walking by faith, standing under the Word of God, believing the Word of God and what it says about Jesus Christ, standing under that Word of God and saying, the Word of God is the truth, the Word of God is my connection with the eternal God, and here I stand under that Word of God, connected with that Word of God, connected by the Word of God, with the triune God. Sound about right? So the walk of faith, tremendously important for us as Christians. Why is it? Why is it that God has set it out that that is the pattern of the Christian life? Answers that come over the years through many generations are such things as God expects us to trust him. God wants us to trust in his word in spite of anything else that we see. God asks for us to hold to his word and to shift our focus away from things of this world to the word of God. And in shifting that focus to the word of God, to then be stepping away from this world and the things of this world and the sins of this flesh and everything else to the eternal thing. That sounds reasonable, right? There's another reason. And this comes kind of as a surprise looking at that verse and noticing it there also. Another reason for this. And that other reason for this is, very simply, that's what God the Father asked of Jesus. The stance of faith. And the stance of faith meaning that Jesus would go through his ministry trusting in the words and promises of God, trusting in that word of God that came to him, that word of God that came and told him of his mission and his ministry, that word of God, those promises of God that promised him that no matter what happened, no matter if there was a cross, there would also then be a resurrection. And God the Father asked for his son Jesus to trust him in that word. Okay. So far on sound footing, right? Hebrews chapter 12 says, setting our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the glory of God. Okay. A little bit more here. This is what's striking about the baptism of Jesus. Because in baptism, what do we have? We have water with the Word of God. And we teach and we talk to our kids and we do the confirmation and we say, what is baptism? And they recite, baptism is not just plain water, but it is the water comprehended in God's command and connected with God's word, which is that word of God. Christ our Lord in the last chapter of Matthew says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Then we follow up and we say, how can water do such great things? And we're just rehearsing this Wednesday and Thursday in confirmation. certainly not the water, but rather the Word of God in and with the water, and faith which trusts this Word of God in the water. Without the Word of God, what is it? Just water. With the Word of God, what is it? Baptism. Life-giving water, rich in grace. Bath of the new birth. Okay, it's the Word. It's the Word, it's the Word, it's always the Word. So there at the Jordan River, the people are baptized. John is sent to baptize. And John baptizes, and in baptizing, there's going to be the Word of God. Something from the Old Testament spoken. Verses, commandments, promises. And people are baptized with the water and the Word of God. Now, here we come to the point. You've been wondering when I'd get there, right? Here we come to the point. Jesus Christ then goes to the waters of the Jordan, and he is baptized, and he has the Word of God spoken over him. And being baptized and having the Word of God spoken over him, he is expected by his Father to trust that Word of God spoken over him. But here comes the twist. Who speaks the Word of God over Jesus in his baptism? Not after his baptism, that's God the Father. But in his baptism, who speaks the Word of God over him? Really? John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is what? He's a human being. And he's what else? He's a sinner. So the sinless Son of God has the Word of God spoken over him by the sinful John the Baptist. Oh, Matthew picks it up real well. John says, I should be being baptized by you. Why are you coming to me? I'm the sinner. You're the sinless. I need you to speak the Word of God over me. How am I to speak the Word of God over you? Second part, my paraphrase. And Jesus says, permit it for now, for it is fitting in this way to fulfill all righteousness. And that righteousness, not only the holiness of Jesus placed within baptism so that when baptism is done and the water is poured over us and the Word is spoken over us, that the righteousness of Jesus should be poured over us as well and we clothed with the righteousness of Christ, but to fulfill all righteousness. The righteous stance of faith. To believe and trust in the Word of God. And the exercise for us as Christians, it starts right there for most of us when we're real little kids, can't even speak, and we are called in these waters to look in the water and see the Word of God. And that's the walk of faith. It's not so different from every other part of life, is it? To look around in all of the other parts of our life and to see the Word of God there and the promises of God, the relationship with God that comes through His Word, and our lives being rewritten by God with the pen of the Holy Spirit writing out the words of the Scripture into our lives and in our souls so that we become. What is baptism? Baptism is not just plain water, but it is the water included in God's command and combined with God's Word. What is the Christian? The Christian is not just a being that is 60% water included in God's command and combined with God's Word. That's kind of a tricky two-step there, but fun. Yeah, what are we? We are human beings held within God's command, connected with His Word, and by being connected with His Word, we're connected with God. And we are expected to hear that Word of God and take the stand of faith. Faith. Believing the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God as the Word of God spoken to us that really does change everything. And if it is the Word of God, then it takes and sweeps away all that was before and brings in all that is new. The Word of God. Remember, what we're asked to do in our baptism is to do what Jesus did. Take the stand of faith. Hear the Word of God spoken by God to us. Now let's look deeply at that. Because that Word of God spoken to Jesus. Two parts here. That Word of God spoken to Jesus is nothing else than what goes on in the life of the triune God. The Word of God. The Word. Words within the Trinity, words of adoration, words of love, words of praise from Father to Son, from Son to Father, and then involving also the Holy Spirit. Words of love and adoration and praise. Did you catch those in the gospel lesson? You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. Later on, Jesus would speak words of love and adoration to His Father. Yes, Father, such was good and pleasing in your sight. But the Word being the life of the Trinity, the life of God, and that Word then spoken to us. What's going on here? In the Word spoken to us, God is calling us out of everything that was before and into relationship with Him. That's why when Jesus teaches about prayer, how does He start the prayer? Our Father calls us out of everything that was before and into relationship with God. By saying our Father, He joins Himself to us, becomes one of us, invites us into that relationship that has been going on for all eternity. The relationship of the words of love and adoration and praise. And so we're invited to walk with Jesus. To walk with Jesus in that relationship with God. To walk with Jesus in the walk of faith. Because after all, Jesus came to walk with us. To take His place in this world where it had to be the walk of faith and not by sight. The second part of it is, how far does He push it? This walk of faith and not by sight. How far does He push it? The walk of faith and not by sight means to believe the words and promises of God in spite of, in the face of, in defiance of anything else that may happen. The little anything else that may happen things are the problems in this life. Those include they include money problems, relationship problems, they include the problems of aging. Right now it's the left elbow. And you laugh because you all have some of this going on. Yeah. But in spite of, in the face of, in defiance of all of those things, and in defiance of whatever it may appear is going on, the Christian faces down all kinds of things that threaten the soul and would seem to drive us to despair and depression. We face it down with. But God has said, or one of Luther's favorites, but I am baptized. Makes everything different. But it's the call to walk the walk of faith. And the fascinating thing about the walk of faith is it's the walk of Jesus. How far does he push it? Can I get a all the way? Yeah. All the way to, my God, why have you forsaken me? And most of the time we focus on the, why have you forsaken me? But right now, focus on the, my God. That's the middle word from the cross. The first word from the cross starts out, Father. The last word from the cross starts out, Father. And see, there it is. That stance of faith that grabs onto the Word of God and says, this is my word from God, and it's an eternal word from an eternal God who invites me into an eternal life to walk with him in an eternal walk. And now to take and put the last twist on this. That being invited into an eternal walk, to share in the walk of Jesus? Isn't that amazing? That this is what we are called into? Is sharing in the walk of Jesus? Well, it makes sense. He did say to his disciples, come follow me. He invited them into that same stance of faith, the same walk of faith. Now that's a privilege where God invites us to live in relationship with him in the same pattern as he lives within the Trinity in relationship Father to Son, Son to Father. To walk by the Word of God. May Jesus grant us grace to do so. In his name, amen.